Thanks to the worship team for playing tonight. Weren't they great? All right. So I'm so used to being up here, but not on this side of it, because it's even, I can't see y'all even worse over here. Like, it's like nobody's in here. But, yeah, I texted Pastor Jack, and I was like, hey, I'd really love to speak on worship, which makes sense because I'm the worship leader here, which I thank y'all for allowing me to be a worship. It's an honor and privilege to lead y'all every week. And it's been something that's been brewing in my heart for a really long time, and I hope I don't sound disorganized or scatterbrained. I just have a lot to say about it because it's so special to me personally, because personally it saved my life. And it's, to me, it's the most important aspect of my walk with God. So the title of today is Worship. And in the bottom corner, you can see the front lines. And I'll explain that in a little bit. But why is worship so important to me? What allows me to come into God's presence? When we worship, God's presence is invited in. God's presence is in here. It's where he dwells. It allows me to thank him, to tell him what I feel. But it also allows me to hear what he's saying to me. In Psalms 132:7, it says, let us go into his dwelling place. Let us worship before his footstool. This is not just a building. This is his dwelling place. This is his house. This is his footstool. When we worship, we always say, I'd like to invite you in, right? We're always expecting God to walk in so we can feel his presence. But that's not how we should do it. Since this is his house, he's already here. When we worship, we should already be telling him how we feel. Telling him that, God, I had a rough day. God, I can't take it any longer. Father, I'm struggling in my mind, and I need you. I need you right now, Father. This is what worship's all about. It's about seeking a relationship with him. It's about telling God, God, what do you have for me? A lot of times when we worship, I think that a lot of people think that we're down here and we're going, God, I seek you. And then we see God is looking like this. But really, what it is God, I'm seeking you. And this is God as well. Come find me. Come find me. Just seek me with all your heart, and I will come find you. It says in the scripture, if we seek him with all of our heart, he'll run to us. So I have a little overview of my message. First, what is worship? Second, what is not worship? Third, why does worship matter? These all intertwine together. So I'll start with what is worship. Well, like any smart person would do, I went to Google. Yeah. And Google said, this is the definition of worship. It says, to regard with great or extravagant respect. We worship God because he is extravagant. We have the respect for him because he is great. This is why we worship, guys. The act of worship isn't just singing a song. The act of worship is an act of admiration for a God that gave everything for us. You got to realize that. How impactful the actions that God did was for us. Like, think about it. You parents out there, think about this. This guy, there's a random guy, and you have a daughter. He just comes up to your daughter, and he just hits her. Hits her over and over. Would you sacrifice your daughter for that guy? Most of us wouldn't. I know I wouldn't. But you know what God said? When we were spitting in his face, when we were beating him, when we were mocking him, he said, I love you so much that I'm going to sacrifice my one son for you. Worship is saying, thank you, God, for doing something I didn't deserve. Thank you for the price that you paid on the cross. Once again, worship isn't just a song. I like to think of worship as a prayer with a melody. You think about all of our songs. That's what makes it so powerful. Worship allows us to tell God how we really feel. If you've never heard them, there's songs like that. There's a song called Dear God by Corey Asbury. I don't know if you've ever heard it. But the way it's built, the first half is a question. It's the human side saying, Dear God, I've been trying so hard to make you proud of me. I'm begging for their approval. I'm seeking earthly approval. And then on the other side, it's God answering and saying, I didn't want perfection. I already said you're enough. I just want you to sacrifice yourself for me. Just give me your all, and I'll take care of the rest. You don't have to doubt me. I'm right here. I've always been here. I didn't barge in because I give you free will. I'm a gentleman. I knock at the door. Just open it. When you open that door, my arms are open wide. Just seek me. Worship is a gathering of people wanting the same thing. Matthew 18:19 says, again, I tell you the truth. If two of you on earth agree about whatever you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. That's the reason we have the prayer team during worship and the last song every week. Two or more agree. There's two people right there. When you bring your need down to the altar and the both of y'all agree on that same thing, it will be done. And you might be asking, well, how do I know he's in this place? Well, the very next verse says, for where two or three are assembled in my name, I am there among them. This is a house full of worshiper, guys. He's here. He's always here. You just have to seek him. When God's in our midst, this is when things happen. Healings, broken chains, bondage, whatever the enemy has you in. God's already won. God can take you out of it. All you got to do is ask. And worshiping is a perfect way to do it. If you don't have a relationship with God, worshiping is a perfect way to do it. There's a song that we sing. It says, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you and be known by you. Seeking through song. I want to know you. I want to be known by you because I don't want to get to the gates of heaven. And he said, depart from me. I never knew you. I want to know you, Father. I want to be known by you. So one cool thing about worship. How many of y'all ever seen like old war movies? Like before modern times, like American Revolution, Braveheart. Stuff like that. If there's any kids, do not watch those movies. I've never watched them. No, but if you notice, when you, the big battle scene, right? They're on opposite sides of the hill, and you get the scene where they're marching in. You ever notice who's at front? Anybody? Yes. But also, if you look, the musicians, the drummers, people with the horns, people shouting are always up front. That's our job as worshipers. We're the ones that warn the enemy of who's coming. We're the ones that get to tell the enemy when we start playing this music, the battle's not fixed to start. No, the battle's already finished. We've already won because I know who's already on my side. And this is what's coming. It's such a privilege. Let me tell you something. You don't have to play a string, to beat a drum, to play a key, to sing a song, to be a worshiper. You don't have to be on stage to be a worshiper. God never said, you have to sing in perfect pitch to worship me. You have to play this guitar beautifully to worship me. No, make a joyful noise. Can I tell you that when y'all worship, believe it or not, y'all help us worship. I know y'all do for me. Give you a prime example, Landis. I don't think he's here today, but y'all know Landis. He's the biggest one here. If you watch him online, you see the hand in the corner, that's Landis. What I love about Landis, he's the biggest guy here. He stands right there or right there. And you can hear him in the middle of a song. He goes, woo! Beginning of a song, he says, sing it, brother. Get it tomorrow. And then you look over at him, and he's just, his hands are up in the air. His eyes are closed, looking up. What I love about that is he just lets go. He doesn't care about who's watching. He doesn't care about how he sounds. He doesn't care about having a mic. He's just worshiping God. He's letting go and let God work in him. And let me tell you, when I see him worshiping, it helps me worship more genuinely. Because I see God working through him, and I'm like, God, I want that. I want to let go. I should be the one that's letting go the easiest because I'm up here. But he's letting go more than I am, God. Give me that power. Show me that side of you, Father. Show me that love that he experienced so I can just let go. Because it doesn't matter at the end of the day what the people around you think if you're singing bad. Who cares? Make a joyful noise. You know? We're not going to put you on stage if you can't sing. Don't worry. Just being honest. You know? So, my next point is what is not worship? This one might hurt a little bit. Worship. Sorry. I'm going to move back a little bit. I missed a point. Remember when I was talking about the drummers up front? I meant to back that up with scripture because that's always a great thing to do when you're on stage. It needs to be backed up with scripture. So I'm going to back up a little bit. In scripture, we get the story of Jehoshaphat. And to put it in context, Jehoshaphat's town, city, is fixing to get attacked by enemies. So Jehoshaphat does what any normal person would do and starts warning all the others around him. Saying, hey, we got to get ready. We're about to get attacked. Like, we need to get ready. So they're getting ready, and the day of battle comes. And this is what he does. This is 2 Chronicles, by the way, chapter 20, verse 21. He says, he met with the people and appointed the musicians to play before the Lord and praise his majestic splendor. As they marched ahead of the warriors, they said, give thanks to the Lord for his loyal love endures. Might not mean much. They might just be singing. But guess what happened because they worshiped the Lord? The next verse, it says, when they began to shout and praise, the Lord suddenly attacked and the enemy was defeated. It's the power of praise. They didn't even have to lift their weapons. The enemy was defeated right there. God had them because they worshiped him. They seeked him. The enemy might not be a physical enemy standing in front of you. It might be addiction. It might be some bondage. It might be some hurt that you experienced in the past that you can't just let go. It might be anxiety. I struggle with that a lot, actually. A few years ago, I was sitting at home, and I got what I thought was a text from my bank. Clicked on the link, put my information in, including my social. Right when I clicked in, I realized it was a scam. Lost about $12,000. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, I still have anxiety about it today. I had it for a long time. It would get so bad that I would physically feel sick. And I just prayed, God, give me something. Give me something. And I just continued to worship and dwell in his presence. Well, come last week, Amara and I looked at a new place to live, and they run your credit before you get approved. This is the first time I've seen it, but they sent our credit scores back. This credit screening's back. This was like 2 years ago, and I've always been worried about it. Maybe it was something I didn't see. So I clicked on mine, nervous, sweating. And because God was faithful, because I was still worshiping, because I was still seeking God, this enemy that was in front of me, that credit score came back, and there was no hits. Nobody had opened anything. Nobody even touched me. God protected me from that. They had everything. They could have easily done something. I couldn't have done nothing about it. But God protected me because I was faithful. And that's not because of me or my power. That's because of God. His hand was on me. He was faithful to me because I was faithful to him. Now, let's move to my second point. What is not worship? I don't know if that's grammatically correct, but you know what I mean. Worship. Worship's not a concert. Worship's not a performance. If this applies to any of us, if we're just here to sing a song because we like how it sounds, something's wrong. If we are just here to sing a song for how it sounds or listen to it because we like it, truth is, we should either go to karaoke or buy tickets to an actual concert because that's not what we're here for. I've struggled with this in the past. I've been doing this for 10 years, and there was times where I was like, man, why can't I lead a song? Believe it or not, there was a time that I didn't lead a song. If y'all weren't here before that, but I was like, when can I lead a song? When can I get the spotlight? God made me wait because that's not what it's about. There was a time in my life I was like, man, maybe this is the roadway to getting signed. Maybe I'm the next Brandon Lake. No, absolutely not. God made me realize that this right here, this isn't yours. This isn't your stage. This is my stage. This is my house. You come to worship me. It's not about you. It's about me. When people walk through the door, and when people walk out of the door, they should be thinking of God. They shouldn't be thinking of Cody. They shouldn't be thinking of anybody on stage. They shouldn't be thinking of anybody in the crowd like, oh, they sing so good. They should be in worship. No, they should be thinking, man, God's presence was in that place today. I feel his presence. I can't wait to worship him some more when I'm in the car. I can't wait to worship him more when I'm in the car, when I'm at home, when I'm with my kids, show my friends at work. Look how great this God is. Look at the love he showed me while I was worshiping at church. That's what worship's about. Worship is personal. When we really let go, when we really decide to worship God, it turns a heart of stone back into flesh. We might have had the worst day ever. You woke up late. You went outside to get in your car to go to work. Your tire's flat. You're late to work. You get written up again. You lose your job. You come home. You fight with your wife. You're late to church. You get into church and you say, God, this is the worst day I've ever had. But here's where change happens. You say, I'm going to worship you anyways. Shows God you're faithful. No matter what. Kind of like marriage, through the ups and the downs, right? It's a different kind of love. It's a love that we don't understand. It's a love that only God can give. We see this. We see this in the parable of the prodigal son, where we see God, he comes running back after us. So if you don't know this parable, Jesus was telling a story about the son. He said, Dad, I want my inheritance. I want my money that I get when you die. His dad said, okay, here you go. Son took it. He had a hard heart. He wasn't focused on anything else. He wasn't focused on the warnings. So what do you want to do? He wanted to party. Partied and partied and partied. Guess what happened? All his money ran out. Big surprise there. He didn't care. He didn't hear the warnings. He had a hard heart. He got so poor that eventually he was eating the food that the pigs were eating. Slop. That's when he realized he should listen to the warnings. That's when his heart shifted. And that stone cracked, broke open, became flesh again. He said, you know what? I'm going to go back home. I'm going to seek my father's house. So what does he do? He comes back home. And in verse 20 of Luke chapter 15, it says, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way from home, his father saw him, and his heart went out to him. He ran and hugged his son and kissed him. I know we look at that from a sinning perspective most of the time, but I'd like to look at it from a worship perspective. God's here, standing right here. All we have to do is seek him when we walk in these doors. And when he sees you from that door, walking in from a long way away, his heart goes out to you. God's the Father in this story. We're the Son. We just need a change of heart. We just got to understand that worship's not about us. This life's not about us. It's about the Father. All the glory to him. Always. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. So, worship is when God speaks to us. And you might be wondering, how can I listen to God when I'm singing a song? I'm literally saying stuff from my vocal box. I have no time to hear him. Well, I'm going to break down a worship song for you. So I can get that breakdown up on the screen for me real quick. All right, here's a breakdown of a worship song. I'll give one of the songs we sing, for example. Reckless Love. Everybody know Reckless Love? Cool. So we got a verse, you know. Before I spoke a word. Yep, remember the words. You were singing over me. That's a verse. Chorus. Oh, the over. Chorus. Verse. When I was your foe. Right? Verse. Chorus. Anybody? Nice. Oh, the overwhelming, if you didn't hear that. Next, instrumental. I put that in all caps. It's not a typo. I put that there for a reason. There's a bridge. No shadow, you won't light up, right? So why did I put the instrumental in all caps? Well, what happens in the instrumental? Anybody? No singing. Well, if there's no singing, are we just standing here like, shouldn't be. Some of us are. If you're not worshiping, you are. I'm not calling anybody out because I promise you, I was the same kid. I sat right there, the second row. Every Sunday, this is how I sat. When's this going to be over? Oh, they're going on the bridge again? That was me every Sunday. But when you start worshiping, you realize that instrumental, and when they hold on to the instrumental a little longer, don't go to the bridge just quite yet, it's an opportunity to listen. Remember I said worship is a prayer with a melody? Verses in the chorus are your prayer. Instrumental is an opportunity to listen for the answer. Listen to what God's telling you. If you have a question, you might be saying yes, no, hold on, be still. Or you might just be simply saying, I love you. Just listen. That's all we have to do. So, this next part, I don't really have slides for. I just wanted to kind of talk to y'all how worship impacts others, kind of how it impacted me. Like I said, I was a kid, second row that didn't worship whatsoever. Believe it or not, you can get your calling through worship. When I was about 15, we went to a conference, Gateway Church. And one of the nights, I was sitting there, standing there like my normal self. And I remember the song, it was Found in You. My opinion, it's not a great song, but it called me. So it has a special place in my heart. I was standing there, and I said, you know what? I'm finally going to let go. Finally going to see what this is all about. So I let go, rose my hands, closed my eyes, and I started worshiping. All of a sudden, I heard God say, open your eyes. So I opened them. And all I saw was a sea of people with their hands up, worshiping God. And I broke down. God right there, he said, you love worship. This is what you love to do. This is for you. I hadn't even sang yet. I hadn't even picked up a guitar yet. Guess what? The next year, I was 16, 3 months into playing guitar, God put me on the stage for him to lead his people into worship. God will call you. You just have to obey and listen. Just let go and listen. One of the other things that changed my life in worship, first time we were ever singing Death Was Arrested on the stage, I was actually right here. I remember so clearly. He doesn't know I'm going to tell the story, but you know that part where it's like, Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoices, oh heaven at last. Right? You know the next part, right? But then Jesus arose with our freedom in it. That part's very special to me because 1 week we did that. I saw my father in the back. He's security. I saw my father in the back. Right in front of that door. Right when we said, but then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. My dad's not a showy guy. He doesn't show a lot of emotions. But I open my eyes and look back and I see my father doing this. I see my father letting go. Not for my glory. I see him let him go to God. Saying, God, glory to you. Because you gave me freedom for the sacrifice that you made. Worship impacts everybody. Worship is our time to listen. I have a lot more to say, but I want to do this before we go. I want to sing one song. It's an old hymn. It's just going to be me and my guitar. I would love for y'all to sing along because there's nothing more beautiful to God's ears than his children just singing to him. So if we could just stand and worship together. I'm going to get my guitar ready and just let go today. To Jesus I surrender all, to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. 'Cause I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. 'Cause I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Sing, I surrender, just the voices. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Father, that's our prayer today. We surrender it all to you.
Father, I pray that we would just come in your house, just dwell in your presence. Father, we seek you. Father, we want you to run towards us. Father, we want to know your love. We want to know your forgiveness. We want to know your power, Father. Father, protect us this week. Protect us as we go. Let us show your love to our coworkers, to our family, to our friends. Let us be an example. Let us shine a light for you in all that we do. In your name we pray. Amen.